18th chapter, verses 37 and 38. That's John, the 18th chapter, 37 and 38. And the title of the sermon is, What is the Truth? What is the Truth? You are a king, then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. What is truth? Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. Let the Lord add a blessing for those that follow and do his will.
Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I should proclaim it clearly as I should. Amen. I want to say good evening. It's good for us to be here again as we come together, worship God in spirit and in truth. And he is the true God, the Savior of our lives, the Ancient of Days, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. He is God. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word will be there in the end. It's by the same Word that we will be judged. When we think about truth and we think about the Word, we have a lot of questions in our lives. Our lives are just full of questions. And as we move through the years in our lives, we find that ourselves being confronted with questions that are just sometimes too numerous to even want to answer. We find toddlers asking us that age-old question, that one-word question, why? And we can never seem to answer that question at all. But no matter the importance of the questions that we have, all the questions that we have in our lives, they shape our lives in some form or fashion. We ask questions about, is she really the one for me? Will this be the test? What sort of career should I go into? When should I pay that utility bill? What neighborhood should we move into? Should we go to the doctor? And if we do, who's going with me? Is it an adjustable or a fixed rate mortgage? What if it's cancer? What will I do? How should I vote? Who should I vote for? Am I getting enough exercise? Did I take my medicine this morning? What if they found out? And whose church should I go to, or where should I even go to church? We have a lot of questions in our lives. We even ask that question in our minds, not too often, but we do ask it from time to time. That question is, will God forgive me? We need to know the truth to that question. We need to know what the truth is to that question. Will God forgive me? The answer is yes, but you have to ask for that forgiveness. We ask questions, and many of us ask those questions because we seek truth, because we just want to know. People go to all these self-help gurus and these mentalists, and they ask questions because they let us know the answer to our questions. And sometimes truth is not relative at all, because nothing that can stand against truth to relate it to except truth itself. But we can respond to questions we ask with particular truth sometimes. And even if we can know everything or be in a position to always make the right decision, we will still ache and hunger for that which is the truth. Because knowing particular truths is not the same thing as knowing the truth. To know a particular truth is not the same as knowing the truth. For instance, particular truths are sometimes simple facts. Particular truths can be gossip, or they can be personal admissions, or even what you believe in. Particular truths can even be statements about our faith. One of the simple facts that are true is that the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. That's a true statement, but what are you going to do with it? Green tea aids in our digestion. It's a true statement, but everybody doesn't like green tea. We're looking to buy a home, and we understand that the resale value in the neighborhood is very low. What's it going to do for you? It's true, but what are you going to do to that and with that? When someone admits to being an alcoholic, what does it do for us in our lives? The effect of it only tends to make better his or her life as well as they admit it. It doesn't mean they're going to stop drinking. The truth of the matter is they should, but they might not. And there are particular truths that are truths that come from the faith that we have in our God. And one of those particular truths, Paul said, if I give all I possess to the poor and I do not have love, I gain absolutely nothing. And that is the truth. Paul says sometimes the truth of the matter is that we walk around just making a whole lot of noise and we have absolutely nothing in our hearts to give. But what is truth? That soul-searching question that Pontius Pilate posed over 1,900 years ago in John chapter 18, verse 38, it still haunts us. It haunts us because we're perplexed, we're confused about what the truth really is. You know, in Acts chapter 8, verse number 36, Peter stood up with 11. He says, let the house of Israel be assured of this one thing, that the same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made today both Lord and Christ. The truth of the matter is, in order for us to repent of our sins, we have to know what the truth is. And Peter stood up and he said, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And if we're going to know that Jesus is the truth, then we have to understand who the Lord of our lives are. If Jesus is our Lord, then why do we subject ourselves to things outside of the realm of Christ? If Jesus is our Lord, then why are we not following the fellowship of the saints at every turn, at every opportunity that we have? If Jesus is the Lord of our lives, then why are we not faithful in the service to God? If Jesus is the Lord of our life, if Jesus is the truth in our lives, then why are we seeking to live lies? Why are we putting up smoke screens and facades in our lives? If God has made both Jesus Lord and Christ, if he's not our Lord, then we live a lie and the truth is just not in us. But Pilate had a wonderful question that he framed way back when, some 1900 years ago. He asked, what is truth? That same truth that John 8, 31 and 32 says will set you free from the guilt of sin. It's Jesus the Christ. Jesus is the truth, John 14, 6, the truth, the way, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me, he says. He's the only way to God. He even makes the truth known concerning himself and the way to his word, which is in the New Testament. In the book of John 17, 17, the question is asked again, what is truth? That word is true. And just like our lives, you know, Pilate's life was full of questions as well. If you look in John 18, there's a lot of questions that Pilate had to answer in his life. There are a lot of questions that we have to answer in our lives as well. And some of the questions that I imagine were rolling through the mind of Pilate at that time was how could he rise in the ranks and win favor with the emperor? How can I do that? Is my wife really crazy, or did she have divine dreams of revelation about this Christ? You see, Pilate was a military man. He was a government man. He was confronted with questions, and he had to be creative sometimes in order to discipline those people without getting in trouble with the people that were above him and even hated by the people that was below him. Should he release Jesus? Or should he release Barabbas? What is the truth concerning that question? Because Jesus is the innocent one, but Barabbas is the popular choice. So who should I truly release? So what does he do? He makes his own truth. Pilate makes his own truth. He removes himself from the choice. He washes his hands of the responsibility, and his truth becomes his truth, and his truth becomes law, because I can't find any fault in this man. There will never, ever be a time in life when you or I will find fault in the truth. It's just not there. There'll never be a time in our lives when we will find accusations against the truth, because it's just not there. There's never a time in our lives when we look truth straight in the face and we face it head on. Because sometimes we just can't seemingly deal with the truth. Pilate had the truth right in front of his face, didn't realize it, and couldn't deal with it, so he made his own truth and washed his hands of the truth that was right in front of him. A lot of people do that today. They ask that question, what is truth? They're searching for truth. They're out there in the world as sinners. They don't even know who God is, and they're searching for truth, and they find it in all these self-help gurus, or they try to find themselves. They're going to be looking for a long time. Because once you find yourself, you might want to change what you see. You might want to change what it is that you've become. You might want to allow God to change you, because you simply cannot change yourself by yourself. The pilot is confronted with a lot of questions. Confronted with questions of life as he did, he just gained a position of authority. I mean, he was a representative of the Roman Empire in Judea. And what he said was law. And sometimes we make law truth, and sometimes the truth isn't really the law, and vice versa. I wonder what was on Pilate's mind at the time. I wonder what it was. Was this an honor or a punishment for him to be in the position he was in? He was in the middle of two worlds. He had to impress the emperor, and he had to find favor with the people that he were over. Was it punishment? Or was it an honor? Because every day he was confronted with questions from other people to make a decision, not on his own behalf, but on behalf of the government that he represented. So the question comes in Pilate's mind, how should these criminals be punished? But there was only one way of Roman punishment at that time that they were favoring, and it was crucifixion. Did any of these prisoners deserve crucifixion was another question. And if I crucify this popular one, how am I going to respond to the lack of funds or support from those that are in Jerusalem? How can I get them to be on my side if I punish the wrong one? See, because the Jews were people who didn't want the official symbol of the emperor even near the temple. They didn't want it anywhere around the temple because they didn't praise the emperor. They were God's people. So what is to be done about this Galilean rebel who worships in open defiance to the emperor? What is going to be done about these people and about this Jesus? What can I do? So here comes this bruised and bleeding man, John 18. If you read that. He comes from the hill country up north, brought in chains before the authorities, and here comes Pilate, a life full of questions, just like our lives. And what does he do, as he's done so many times before? Pilate finds himself dealing with a man who's a criminal, who claimed to be the new Jewish king. And that was getting to be a little bit routine, but it was treason nevertheless. You know, there's something comforting about routine. We find routine in our lives all the time. And what is comforting to us is that sometimes make the routine the truth. Just because that's the way it is, just because that's the way it's always been, it becomes truth. And it's really a lie that you're living. Just because it's always been that way doesn't mean that's the way it ought to be. We have to look into the scriptures and see what thus says the Lord. That's the way it is, and that's the way it always has been. The truth is what we ought to look into. But Pilate found it comfortable to go through his daily routine. Because it just doesn't seem right that this beat-up carpenter could be a king. And most of all, he's from Nazareth. What good comes out of Nazareth? This can't be true. This man standing in front of me cannot represent anything that's true. So what do I have to do? I have to believe those that accused him. So I'm going to ask him, just because I have to go through my routine. I'm going to ask him about the truth. So Pilate starts on the basis of a legal charge, because treason against the Roman emperor is cause for death. And he was so weary of the deceit from the Jewish leaders because they were lying just to get their own way. And he knew that because they avoided his direct questions. It says, if you were a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him to you if you wasn't a criminal. So why are you asking us? Why is he in front of you? So he gets right down to the facts with Jesus, and he asks another question to Jesus. Are you the king of the Jews? But then Jesus has a question of his own that he asked Pilate. He wants to know why Pilate is asking him this. Did somebody tell you to ask me that, or you knew this from your own volition? But Pilate doesn't hear Christ because he's into his own routine, simply like we in our own routine every day of our lives. We need to live what the truth is in our lives, but we live routine lives every day, mundane lives that are not filled with absolute truth. And here's Pilate. He does the same thing. Pilate's not a Jew, and he has no interest in this Nazarene at all. He just wants to know from Jesus, what have you done? What have you done? When he asked that question, he's looking for a plea of guilty or not guilty, because it would really simplify things, but that's not what he gets. He gets the truth. He gets the truth, you see? He doesn't get some trumped up conviction from a man who was forced to tell him what he wanted to hear so he can wash his hands and be done with these Jewish people. Pilate found himself dealing with the truth. So when Jesus tells him that his kingdom is not from this world, Pilate gets a little confused because, you see, he has a full schedule today. He has no time to waste on this schoolyard fight. He doesn't have time for that. So you're a king then. You're telling me you're a king? Is that the truth? Says Pilate. Well, that's good enough for me. That's enough to convict you. Because claiming to be king is enough to even crucify you. But what's so compelling to me when you read in John 18 about the word being the truth is that Pilate doesn't expect that reply from Jesus. Jesus says, you said I'm a king. You said that. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. I am the truth. And everyone who listens to me is on the side of truth. But who's listening to Jesus today? Who's listening? Who's on the side of truth? Who knows what the truth is? We lean to the side of caution every day of our lives. We don't want to know the truth because it gives us too much responsibility. We don't want to know the truth because we really don't want Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. We want to control our own lives, regulate where we shop, where we sleep, where we eat, where we work. We regulate all those things. We even regulate where we go to church and how we serve God. Jesus is not the Lord of our lives. If he was, we would be living the truth. What is the truth of our lives? What is it? Don't we all want to be on the side of the truth? Our lives are just so full of questions. Don't we all want to know what the truth is? And Pilate stands there, waiting. I could just see him, looking at Jesus, expecting him as any other prisoner to beg for mercy or even spit at him because he's angry that he's in his presence. He wants that to use so he can discern, what am I going to do with him? But instead, he encounters the humility of God. He encounters the truth right in front of him that he can't recognize. What am I going to do with him? Because I've got a man in front of me who is revealing the truth. I see it, but I don't want to recognize it. Anybody in here ever saw the truth and didn't want to recognize it? Anybody in here ever saw it? It's just right in front of them and you just can't see it. I think truth for some is just really hard to understand. I know for Pilate it was. I know for those that are sinners in this world, sometimes it's hard for them to understand. But God makes it plain, doesn't he? God makes truth plain. I am the way. I am God. In the beginning was the Word, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. God makes it plain. Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, is both Lord and Christ. He is the truth. And no mentalist can reveal this truth to you. None. It's not even hidden. But there's only one man that walked this earth that testified with his own mouth that he was the truth with his words and with his deeds. And we being the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being the church, we are the pillar and ground of the truth, of the truth. We represent what is truth. So when someone asks the question is posed to the church. And we ought to be able to answer that question, what is truth? Is Jesus really the king of the Jews? Did he really rise again? Sometimes, just like Pilate, we have no answers. Just another question. But that's the most honest question Pilate ever asked in his whole life. And that's the most honest question you and I have ever asked in our lives. We became Christians, and we continue to be righteous in our lives. We ask that question over and over and over again because we seek to know what the truth is. What is truth? What is it? What is it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 says these words. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God has chosen us to know what truth is, and we can know it. And we can know it, and it can set us free. If you believe and obey the truth, you're going to be saved, 2 Thessalonians just said to us. But if you do not love the truth, you will receive eternal damnation. And you'll always be asking that question, why did I not obey the truth? Why did I not obey the voice of God? Why didn't I just get it? Because we make our own truths. We put ourselves in the way. No one is more true than what we are to ourselves and to this flesh. We need to understand we've got to be true to God. We've got to be true to God. Let God be true and every man become a liar as it is written. Let God be true. You know, Jesus doesn't really answer his question straightforward. And he doesn't really extend an invitation to Pilate either. He just doesn't do that. He remains silent after those exchanges. Because, see, the truth bears witness. It's not a proposition. The truth is not a proverb. It's not a plan. It isn't a particular truth that can be converted into a slogan. You know, the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. It isn't a particular truth like that. It isn't even truth that we make truth. You know, you say it so long and so often it becomes truth in your life. It isn't that way. Jesus doesn't answer Pilate's question directly because it can't be answered with a word spoken. It can only be answered with the word that was made flesh. And the answer stands right before him. And that same answer stands right before us. Every day of our lives, God has put Jesus in front of us that we might see him. That we might see God for ourselves. We always ask, Lord, just let me see your face. Why are you asking me about that, Philip? Why are you asking me to show you the Father? If you're looking at me, you're looking at God. You want to know the truth? If you want to see God, allow Jesus to be the Lord of your life. That is the truth. It's the truth. It isn't popular, but it's true. Probably won't make you any money, but it is true. But what it will do, it will give you an eternity with God in heaven. The truth is going to set you free. Not free from pain or agony, discomfort, or even anguish. But in the inner man, in our spirits, God will comfort us with the truth that only comes from God. You know, I remember way back when I was younger, there was a popular slogan that was out. The slogan read just like this. It says, Jesus is the answer. And that slogan stayed around for a long time, and then it started to fade away. Why did it fade away? Because people started to ridicule the slogan and said that if Jesus was the answer, then what is the question? And nobody could tell you what the question was. But Pilate has the question. And you and I have the question. The question is, what is the truth? And Jesus is that answer. He's that word made flesh that has dwelt among us. He's that word made flesh that has supped with us. He's that word that has made flesh that has saved our very souls. Jesus is the word that says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to come see God, come see me. Come see me. Come see me. Our lives are full of questions. Here's one more for you. Do you know the truth? Do you know it? 1 Peter says to the Jews of dispersion in 1 Peter 1:22, he says these words, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know, obeying the truth purifies your soul, Peter said. And boy, do we need that more than anything else. We need to be sanctified and made holy to walk in favor with God, to walk with God. We need to be made holy. And truth does that for us. It purifies our souls. One thing about the question that we ask, it hadn't been answered in secret. It'll never be answered in secret because the gospel is not a secret. It was a mystery a long time ago, but it wasn't a secret. It was a mystery. It's a difference. It's a difference. But it's no longer a mystery, and it's not a secret because we can know who God is. We can know. We can know Jesus, and we can listen to his voice. And then and only then will you find yourself on the side of truth. Then and only then will you understand that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same truth was in the beginning with God. I mean, before, there was nothing before truth. It was always truth. Truth has always been around. All things were made by the truth. And without the truth, was not anything made that was made. Our lives are full of questions. Will you answer those questions by obeying the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Will you hear his word? Will you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Will you repent of your sins and confess Christ? Will you be baptized in water for the remission of your sins? Will you understand the truth of our lives? That we're not in a fight with anything that's human. It's a spiritual warfare, don't you see? And the truth of the matter is that if we do not understand who Jesus is in our lives and come to know God, the truth of the matter is that we will find ourselves in the damnation that's going to come to pass on that great and final day of judgment. Will you be ready to face the truth? Because whether you're ready or not, the ecclesiastical writer says the truth is going to be there waiting for you. He says God's going to bring every deed into the judgment and every secret thing, even some of the things that are true that you have secret, it's coming into the judgment, whether it's good or evil. One last phrase that we say. We say, let the truth be known. Well, here's your opportunity. Let the truth be known. God calls us to repent of our sins. Let the truth be known. If we are Christians, he calls us to repent of our sins. If we're not Christians, he calls us to repent of our sins. Let the truth be known. Repentance is what we need before we can even find ourselves in a position to know who God is. If we can help you tonight to understand the truth, why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Jesus is calling for you and for me.